do you recall on that first day again how you felt when your break time finally came?
I was ready for it. you know, there's always a lot of not pressure, but you know, when you're new on a job. You always wonder about this. There's takes a lot of nervous energy, and so I was certainly ready for the break, and I was ready for lunch, and I was glad when the whistle blew and it was time to go home. And of course, it was dark then, but I'm quite sure that I took the bus for a little while till I got this ride. Then that was much better when you had a ride, you see.
And what was the clock out process like? Because here, after all, you come in just with these five other people, but clocking out, I presume, was this horde.
There was a line, yes.
And
yes.
How did that, because that would have been your first kind of experience like that in your work
well,
life,
Well,
really.
I get, oh yes, it was the first time, because while I had worked in restaurants before, never the kind where you clocked in. There was always a long line, and they were forever sending around A and B O's telling you not to rush the clock. Well, the experienced people knew, how, of course, you had to leave your area clean. Well, I hadn't been there very long until I got on to the fact that you clean up as you go, you know, kind of don't be too spread out when it's getting close to quitting time, so you can go when the whistle does blow. And I carried that through as much as possible all the years I worked there. Some people would let the quitting time come, and here they'd have everything spread out. Well, when you usually you don't need to be that spread out. Not always, but I mean generally you don't need to be that spread out. You can have it sitting and get away.
Now, what was your starting pay that first?
It was 60. You know, I tried to look that up. It seemed to me it was 60 cents an hour with 6 cents. Swing differential. I've saved all my old check stubs, but they're not all together. I'll try to look that up, but I believe that was it. It seems to me I started out at 66 cents an hour, and then, of course, time and a half on Saturday, you know, that was pretty good.
And how many hours did you work
in
the very beginning?
We always worked 48 during the war. Never any 40-hour week during the war. And just once in a while on Sunday, but I can only remember working on Sunday a few times because our work didn't seem to be that urgent.
It doesn't sound like you worked 10-hour days every day.
Oh, no. No, I believe that the women couldn't work 10 hours then. It seemed to me they couldn't. Later they let them, but I don't see, California had some pretty strict laws. And it seemed to me we could only work 8 hours a day.
Because they suspended some of those at one point then.
Yes, but I don't
When you first started, they probably hadn't.
I never worked more than than 8 hours when I worked out in the shop. I don't remember ever working longer than 8 hours a day. Now, later, when I got into the tech manual department, I worked. More than 8 hours some days, but I don't remember. I don't remember ever working more than 8 hours out in the shop. I'm quite sure I didn't. I think it was against the law.
Now, we talked about some of the women on that very first crew. What about the men who were on that crew and in your leadman? Can you describe them a little bit?
Well, this leadman, they said he was French Canadian. He was quite a big man, and he was nice looking. The thing that impressed me was the kind of language he used. I don't mean that he used dirty language, but I was used to working around people that used pretty good English. And I remember his telling me one time, I've forgotten what he said. Evidently, when I first started to work there, I must have made an impression on some people about my English, because he commented on it. And I guess when somebody did something for me, I said thank you and please, because I remember him saying something to me once about he didn't have time to always be saying please and thank you. I remember him saying that. So, once in a while, one of the women would mention something about it. I mean, it seems to me one of them asked me if I was a college graduate because, so evidently, I did notice that some of them used ungrammatical language and sometimes it seemed strange for them not to say that. They'd say they'd give you hell. I was always hearing that, and I hadn't heard much of that before. You know, I mean, for the boss.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an experience. Yes, if anybody did anything wrong and got reprimanded, they always said he gave them hell. He gave them hell. Of course, they use that all the time now. But that was. A sort of a new expression to me at the time because I don't recall my brothers or father ever saying that. And, of course, any of these homes I'd worked in, mm-hmm. Those ladies didn't talk like that. And even the restaurants I worked in, I don't remember mm-hmm. them talking like that. So.
Well, it sounds like you were viewed as different from the other people on the crew.
Well, from some of them. Not too different, and I tried to be the same as all of them, except, like I said, now later on, when I got in another department, even in the shop, I wasn't too different. But right then, they were just bringing in people from, and I don't know, maybe I was different. I tried not to be, but I do recall that some of these women didn't, I don't know. they didn't use very good grammar. And, of course, I don't know. I took the job very seriously. I'm not implying that many of the rest of them didn't. Many of them did. But some of them were kind of, I don't know. I suppose, let's say they were not, some of them hadn't had much education. Mm. I know.
Well, were you among the few high school graduates? In that first group?
No, there were some. Several high school graduates, but there were some who hadn't. But you see, by then I had had some mm-hmm. Some college work.
Right.
I've forgotten how much, I had almost the equivalent of a year,
mm-hmm.
and of course, having taught school, we had had quite a bit
mm-hmm.
of grammar and English, and and then, see, my mother had been a school teacher, and I don't mean that my parents always spoke perfect English, like you hear the Kennedys that have been,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't use as bad grammar as, and my mother always used very good English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she usually had the tenses right and all that. So, I guess I just hadn't gotten into some of the habits as bad
mm-hmm.
as some of them. But no, there were women there. There was one woman, I never knew what job she had. They said she was just working there to help out the war effort. And, she wore beautiful clothes. I guess she was quite a well-to-do woman. And she used good English.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that all of them didn't. Many of them did. But there were also many of them that didn't, because there were some that had not finished
mm-hmm.
high school.
Now, what do you recall in your crew on that first job? Were there many women from who were referred to as the Okies?
Not on my crew, but there were several in the department.
Mm-hmm. And what were the attitudes towards those women?
Oh, well, everybody tried to get along. Nobody intentionally looked down upon anybody. I'll say that everybody tried to be considered as mm-hmm. far as things like that. Of course, there was some rivalry for getting a better job and for doing getting the easier things. But I don't recall that anybody was, not very many were snobbish. Mm-hmm. There may have been a few that were, but mostly everybody was friendly.
Mm-hmm. And how about minority women?
At that time, there were none in there then. Now later, before I got out of the shop, they began to bring them in. But when I first hired in, I don't recall seeing any. I think it wasn't until I'd been there about 6 months or so that they mm-hmm. started bringing them in.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did you stay on that first task?
Well, on that, I stayed in Department 5. I hired in June. And, of course, I didn't realize that until you'd been there 6 months, you shouldn't ask for a leave of absence. But remember, there was a war going on. And while my brothers were both married and with families, they were still, my sister-in-law wrote, and it looked like they were going to be drafted. So I wanted a leave to go back and see my brothers. And they wouldn't give it to me, so I quit. Because by then I had talked with several people, and some of the men around there, I remember one or two. But then, I was pretty well acquainted with everybody on my floor. Those men said, oh, go on. I said, go on back there. You can always hire in again. I do remember that I think it was the foreman or the supervisor or somebody told me I would lose my seniority. So I quit. And I was gone for 3 weeks. I quit, I think, the 3rd of November, something like that. And I stayed back there till after Thanksgiving. And I came back, and I hired in about the 2nd of December. Yes, I hired in the 2nd of December. But I had lost my seniority. So when I hired in, I was put in experimental. And there is that's where I remember there was a school teacher working on a break not far from me, and I liked that better. I liked that much better. And I discovered that a woman I had known before I went to Lockheed was working on that same floor. So that was kind of nice. We palled around and often ate lunch together and that kind of thing. So I liked it much better in experimental.
Now the first 4 months though you were in that.
It was about 5 months. Wait, not July, August, September. About 5 months. Mm-hmm. I was in Department 5, and then I went in. This other department was 24 something. Mm-hmm. They kept changing mm-hmm. the departments, but I liked it better there. However, they sent me into. What in the world? Sheet metal. Well, some of that work was pretty big. But I remember one day out there, I had, was he a lead man or a supervisor? I think they made all the lead men into supervisors. And that's where I noticed he was a good mechanic, but he didn't use good English. But I remember one day he gave us these equations to work. We were to figure out about all the spending and everything. Well, I mean, I'd had advanced algebra in high school, and I hadn't been that long out of high school. I got the equations. Just like he came around and gave them to us, and he said, now, when you figure that out, let's see. Was it an equation? It was something we were to figure out about how to lay out all mm-hmm. this. I think that was it. And he said, when you get it laid out, when you get that figured out, bring it to me. Well, he hardly got them all passed out to everybody. And his eyes kind of bugged out. He checked it all over. He said, well, I remember he was surprised. He said, well, now we'll see how you do it laying it out. Well, I didn't do so well.
Now, what was it? So you were given a piece of sheet metal, in other words.
I had to lay out, not always. Now, a lot of the time, we did a lot of burring.
Oh, so here you were really working with machinery.
No, I worked at a bench, but I used a scribe, and we had a burring thing, And let's see, there was a vice there because we did a lot of filing. But that was really the starting point in that department. So we didn't do any anything for the break, but we did lay out parts sometimes, I remember. We were supposed to mark them. And see, that's why he gave us those two. I don't know. I've wondered since if he gave that to us just to see if any of us knew enough to go on to a better job. But finally, let's see, how in the world did it happen? Oh, they needed, I think he decided that, I've forgotten why, I left that little group and went over to Spotwell. I know I went over to Spotwell. I guess they needed somebody over there.
How long have you been doing that job?
Oh, I started there in December, and I think I was about 3 months there. And then when I went to Spotwell, it was just going around the corner. I mean, I was still in that department. And I went over to Spotwell. Now there were more men over there because that was heavy work. And but this was experimental, so we'd have to lay out the spots for the spot welding. So I got, so I was pretty not too bad at laying things out, you know, with a ruler and the arithmetic part of it never phased me. Although some of those people did have trouble. Some of the very good mechanics had trouble. I've forgotten how long I was there. Maybe 3 months, because I know I was in spot weld for a while, and then. One day, see, they'd have me kind of balance the big part. We were doing these big cowlings for engines, and the man run the spot weld machine. Well, evidently, I don't know what I did, but I hurt my back. And I remember the lead man there. He was a nice fella. He said that work was too heavy for me. I should go to electric. I remember feeling kind of, I just wondered if they thought I wasn't doing a good job. But anyway, I was sent down to electrical bench assembly. And when you can see that I'm under 5 feet, it was the best thing. But I did have that trouble with my back. And I remember I had to go to medical and let them x-ray me. And do you know, to this day, let's see, I think they put a dot on my badge then. I know I had a dot on my badge for a while till I was put on salary and got an oval badge, and then, of course, I didn't have it.
And the dot signified what?
It signified different things. But this signified that I was not to do excessive walking or standing or lifting. I wasn't to do, I think it was against excessive lifting and standing, yeah, something like that, because I'm pretty sure that was it. Because here you stand on that cement floor. Well, they did have things. They had kind of a little latticework thing you could stand on. But the reason I left a spot weld was because of that back injury. But now it wasn't so bad. But I went to work every day. But I think it seems to me that over at medical they put light, put that big heat lamp on, and it seems to me I went over there every day for just a while.
Had something actually happened, or was it the lifting?
I think it was the lifting. I think I just strained some muscle. And you know, to this day, if I go shopping and walk on the cement for a long time, I can still feel a little tinge back there, but I never tried to get there. It wasn't bad enough for disability or anything like that. Besides, I wanted to stay on Lockheed. I mean, I never tried to make a big deal out of it.
Okay. But it seems like in this job, you were actually carrying around the pieces of sheet metal and
holding
them.
Holding them. Working on the sheet metal. See, this was an experimental. But then I was sent down to electrical. Now, this was the same department, but it was just in a different building.
Well, let me ask you before you start describing the experimental. First of all, when you rehired back in, did you start again at the salary at which you'd left, or did you have to go back to the
No,
start
I started
end?
Where I left off.
Oh.
I remember that. I've forgotten, but then I had, I'd had two or three raises.
Mm-hmm.
No, they said that was a rule at Lockheed. Somebody told me that according to the union contract, I didn't belong to the union, there were several people around there that were very strong union, and then there were some that, there were some of us, we were being treated all right. I did later join because in this group where I worked, I think I was the only one who didn't belong, so
mm-hmm.
I belong because, you know. But it seemed to me, they said according to the union contract, they had to hire
mm-hmm.
you in at least for hourly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how it would be with salary.
Mm-hmm.
But I hired back in
mm-hmm.
at what I had left.
Now, you say you didn't belong to the union. What were your feelings about the union at that time?
Well, of course, you see, I had been raised on the farm, and I can remember this from my childhood, and I guess it was thrashing time. Now, I was pretty small then, because later we had a thrasher that run on kerosene or something like that. But at that time, we didn't own the thrasher. The thrash machine
mm-hmm.
came through. And evidently, it used coal, because the coal miners were on strike. As I say, I must have been pretty small. This was back probably 1920 or something. Anyway, my mother said, it's not right for those men to go on strike for higher wages and let our wheat spoil because it can't be thrashed. So some of the farmers didn't think too much of this. They worked long hours. Of course, they had no idea what it was like in a factory. And if it affected them so that their crops were going to spoil, they thought the union had no business striking. So I suppose I had inherited some of that, and then where I had worked, I had never worked in a restaurant that
mm-hmm.
was union, and I just, I don't know, I just kind of stayed shy of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember being approached by the union?
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. oh, yes, and yes. But I didn't join
mm-hmm.
for a long
mm-hmm.
until after I had been there about
mm-hmm.
2 years, I
mm-hmm.
think, that I joined. And and later I could see why I still think that in a big factory like that, a union is necessary. Now, I don't always think that all the things they do are necessary. And I think sometimes there's times when I think their demands are
mm-hmm.
unreasonable, but I do think in a big factory like that, if you don't have a union, it's so easy for a supervisor to be arbitrary. So easy. And I've even had a supervisor said that once. He said, they need a union
mm-hmm.
here. He said, we might not always be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could be, however, it can get out of hand,
mm-hmm.
too.
So when you did decide to join then, say, about 2 years or so after you'd been there, it was primarily because the other people in your crew were all...
Yes, and this fella, he was nice, and he told me, he said, now, look, it's the union that gets you your raises, and so I decided that I would join because... I think all the other women in that group belonged,
mm-hmm.
and the men did. Well, there might have been one or
mm-hmm.
two others that didn't, but most all of them did. That was done in this electrical,
mm-hmm.
so I joined.
Now, let me ask Rita, before we talk about when you went into the electrical, going back to that first crew, before you took your leave of absence, did you make friends among any of the women on that first crew? Would you spend time with them outside of work?
A little, yes, but it was very difficult, and mostly the women I did were ones that lived over in Pasadena that would ride in my same car.
Carpool.
But I had friends on the outside, so I didn't didn't bother about that. And, you know, transportation was hard. And except, as I say, for this one woman that I remembered all. But even then, she lived way out in the valley. I lived in Pasadena, and she had two children. It wasn't until I got into experimental that I made any friends that I saw on the outside to any degree.
What were they like?
Well, now, there was one of those, this Olene, I rode with her. I think she got me the ride, or I got her the ride. I've forgotten which. She came from Montana. Her husband was in the service. And I believe she had taught school. If not, she was certainly educated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I found her very companionable. But mostly it was because she lived not far from me. And it did seem like the women in experimental were a little, I don't know how to say it, but I think most of them had a little better education. Mm-hmm. That's where I, the school teacher worked on the break. And I believe Olene had taught school. If not, I'm not so sure, but she was a college graduate. Mm-hmm. She had gone to college, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, she was easier to talk to. Then there was a lady there that, and I saw her off and on for a long time. She was just a nice lady to work with. And she, let's see, I lived in Pasadena then. She lived in Glendale. And up until here, since I've lived here, she passed away because she was older than I, not an awful lot, but some. But I kept in touch with her even after I had gone on into technical manuals, and she was still out in the shop.
Now, what sorts of things would you do together with these people, for instance, experimental that you saw outside the board?
We went bowling some, and we went to shows. What else did we do? I know. They had what they called a penguin club. See, the penguins don't fly. And they had organized that. And I remember they used to have luncheons for the swing penguin club. And I had a car. And as a matter of fact, I went into the war with practically a brand new car. And, of course, some of these women didn't have cars because they had come from other parts of the country. And I can remember we used to go to those luncheons, and we used to go shopping, or at least looking, and did things like that.
Now, when would you do this? Before your shift?
Yes, yes. But the bowling was usually after the shifts. And, see, what time we got off at 12:30, I think it was. And we sometimes went bowling, and then we didn't add, but that was a little difficult unless sometimes the whole, you had to arrange transportation if you went bowling.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go bowling on Sunday afternoon because we didn't work Sundays very much.
Would this be as individuals, or was this part of one of the employees' clubs?
Well, it was both, this Penguin Club. Mm-hmm. That was organized. And then sometimes it was kind of by department. But I don't think it was really much of an organization. They just say, we're going to go bowling tonight. Do you want to come after swing shift? Well, if you could arrange transportation and if you didn't have something more interesting to do. But transportation was a little difficult. And if we went to shows, we usually went right in Pasadena. Mm. However, they did do a show, and I can't think what the name of it was now, we were called war workers then. And I remember that the fella I was riding with wanted to see it. It was over in Hollywood. And so we were told about it at work quite some time before. And so he told us that he wanted to go to it, and he hoped we all would like to go. But if we didn't, to make other arrangements to get home that night. Well, I think the whole carload of us went. We went to that show. It was about a two-hour show, and we didn't get home till late, but it was funny because we could see ourselves there. And so...